whatever you're going to do, you have to go after it hardcore.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock.
It's another week, another amazing guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. This week's episode is brought to you by Liquid Web, a premium, high-performing hosting company. They work with companies like Home Depot, National Geographic, FedEx, and much more. You can go to liquidweb.com and use the promo code PASSION33. That's PASSION33 to save 33% off your first 3 months. Now, I just want to remind you that episode 100 is right around the corner, April 1st to be exact, and it's going to be amazing. Remember, the focus is to teach you how to turn your passion into dollars, how to make money with that skill, that thing you love doing. So I'll be having on some high-performing guests, individuals that have built a business with their passion, like Dustin Lee, May DeLeon, Matt Dawson, Kyle Courtright, Melinda Livesey, Ian Padgett, Dan Lee, Colin Tierney, a group of people that have built all different types of business with their creative skill and some successful businesses too. So you don't want to miss it. April 1st, we're kicking it off at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and the live stream will be at my Instagram account, DP Creates. So come join me, follow me, and you won't miss it. You won't regret it. You'll be able to ask them questions after we dive in with them on their best practices, how to build a six-figure business, how to generate revenue consistently. So I don't want you to miss out. I want to bring you guys as much value as possible. So remember, April 1st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, we're going to turn our passion into dollars. Now, this week's guest is someone I met through my partnership with Liquid Web. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Well, I am super excited to have Dustin Halls on the Passion Behind the Art Show. Dustin, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Dustin, let's jump right into it. Like, how, I mean, I only have like a very smidgen of what you do, and we're going to jump exactly a little bit more later on in the interview of how we got connected. But like, tell us, how did your journey start? Where did it start, and how did it get you where you are now?
Yeah, man, I started in internet marketing about 11 years ago now. Got my first job at a company called Commission Junction. My then girlfriend, now wife, or roommate as I like to call her, she got me my first job in the industry. So I owe everything to her. Wow. And I fell in love with digital marketing really quickly. Just wanted to be a part of it, saw affiliates making tons of cash out there, and I wanted to be a part of it in some capacity. And it's taken me a long time getting through that journey to figure out where I want to go. But I love working at a computer 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and it's a good time.
Awesome. Like, that's funny you said Commission Junction, because I used to use Commission Junction a lot, like in around the 2007,
okay,
2008 arena, just with the affiliates and all of that stuff, when that was like a big deal, and and AdSense and stuff like that. So it's funny you said, so what was that like jumping into Commission Junction, and what was your role there?
Oh, that was a crazy good position. So I started off, so I had a, My background was in the military, so I was in the Marines for 6 years, and then after that was done, I started looking on where to get a career. I did some poker dealing for a while, and then fell into this internet affiliate marketing. And I used my background from military to get into like the security section of Commission Junction. So there I was doing fraud reports, catching bad guys and taking the money back from them, trying to steal from merchants. So that was a good time. And I saw all the potential of those guys making really good money. And my moral standards prevented me from going out and doing those same kind of things that they do. Even though I saw a lot of them making six figures a month, I was like, wow, can't do it. Can't go out there and be part of the problem. My whole life motto is be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. So I love that position that I started out in, and I've gotten out of the fraud sector, but it's always in the back of my mind when I run affiliate programs these days.
Right, right. To be honest, it's always in the back of my mind also, because it's just like, you just never know, man. You just never know.
It's tempting, man. You sniff out a good deal and you're like, oh, I could run these guys under the bus for a little bit, but nah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I get you. So you were working at Commission Junction, you were in the fraud sector. Like, mm-hmm. What caught your eye first and foremost outside of just the money part? Mm-hmm. And how did you switch over to becoming like a full-fledged, marketer?
Yeah.
Digital marketer.
Yeah, that was a long transition. Like, I used that job to get another job in the coupon industry, and I saw how dirty that industry was. And then I used that coupon job to get a job at an agency. And then I got that job to move into running an affiliate program for a merchant. So I just got engulfed in the whole gambit of affiliate marketing, going from all aspects of it. And I got the unique perspectives from each one of those and take all that information and plug it into what I'm doing today with affiliate marketing, which is teaching people how to run affiliate marketing programs properly. So yeah, that journey was, it's unique. Like, you always take your job and the situation you have and leverage it into your next position, into life, right? So it took me a long time to get to the entrepreneur state that I'm in now. I've been doing that for almost a year now on my own without, you know, working for anybody besides myself, right. which took a long time, but I felt like I needed that experience to get to that level to where I could release and do it on my own. You feel the same way? Like, you had to work for a few people back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's just a part of life. I mean, of course, there are people that just jump out the gun and just go on their own, but I feel like, as you said, you just got to take everything as a learning experience and kind of run with it from there. I'm there with you on that. And I feel like, you know, I mean, every job that I've ever been at, it kind of tuned me in for different things. Some were for leadership roles. Some were for just skill level. Some were for, you know what I mean? All different type of things, just communication. So I feel like that was needed for me. But for some people, you know, I know a few people that kind of just out the gun, they just went to full-fledged entrepreneur and they never turned back. But that's few and far between.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Rare stories, yeah.
So you're a digital marketer. Like, what does that entail? Because when I hear about digital marketer, there's so much to it than... There's so much different types of digital marketers. Mm. You know what I mean? So, like, what, give me some examples and what's hot right now. What's because, you know, it's kind of saturated also.
Sure. No doubt. Yeah,
so,
man.
So give me some examples of what digital marketer is and some opportunities out there.
Sure. I mean, digital marketing is all-encompassing of social media, anything online, anything where you're hustling to get people to buy things online, that's you're a digital marketer, right? You're building email lists, you're creating pop-up campaigns, you're doing drip campaigns through email. It could be an array of things. And the more niche you are, the more money you're going to make in the end because of your specificity. You can go to bigger and bigger companies down the line and keep building up your portfolio and, you know, get better clients. So my particular niche is in affiliate marketing and managing affiliate programs. And I feel like, you know, I'm at the top of my game, top 1% of people in the world that can actually do this. And so what's hot right now, more than anything, everybody wants influencers into their affiliate programs. Everybody wants YouTubers, Instagram folks, because the volume of one huge influencer can bring massive amounts of sales to merchants, and everybody wants those kinds of connections, and it's really hard to get the attention of those kinds of influencers, right? Like it takes a lot of patience, a lot of consistency, a lot of shaking hands and networking to find the right people to actually get them to like you enough to actually answer your emails, right?
Ain't that the truth?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So a lot of beat in the streets, testing out different kinds of things. I send funny emails, I send videos, whatever it takes to get people's attention. So that's the digital marketing world that I'm in. And super hot right now are, you know, people that are influencers and just silly people making silly amounts of money for not doing a lot of work.
That's crazy. So, all right. So you're reaching out to different influencers on behalf of your clients. What's some of the ways that you kind of execute that?
Persistence. More than anything, it's always persistence. So I use some third-party tools to email people. Mm-hmm. I use these tools to build lists of people that I would be interested in. And then I condense those lists and target the people specifically and do a lot of outreach, based on their likings and what their niche is and, you know, if it's a good fit for that client. You know, for you example, I had a list of people that I might want to hit up. You came up on that list. And then I reached out specifically. I'm like, hey, we're really interested in podcasts. I want to reach out to these podcasts. You're one of those that, that I hit up for my client Liquid Web. So.
Makes sense. So how much outreach you would say you're doing per day?
It's very targeted. So I do outreach only on Tuesday and Wednesdays because Thursday and Friday is kind of like the follow-up if I didn't hear back from them. And also emails back and forth. People are more open to answer on those later days after the early week is done. So you get all of your stuff done on Monday, right?
Right.
All the tough stuff. So that's kind of my cadence, but no less than 100 outreach emails per Tuesday, probably another 100 on Wednesday. Wow. A lot of hard work there, but once you get your flows going and you figure out how to do these things, you get it down to a really good cadence that you can be proud of and be very efficient with. And even if you're like nailing it out of the park, if you have a 10% response rate, that's like a good day. there's just so much junk in email boxes these
right,
days
right
that it's hard to get through all that noise, and 10% is like a really awesome conversion rate to get a response.
Nice. It's just I just don't think people understand how much outreach people do to kind of get their business ahead. I think a lot of people, a lot of times this notion of, build it and they will come mentality, like the amount of outreach that people have to do to kind of get their business ahead is crazy. So it's kind of cool to hear you kind of give the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm always hustling. I'm hustling for my own business. I've got to market my own business and get more clients, but I also have to work for my clients and I've got to hustle for them. So like balancing that is a crazy tough experience. Like I almost don't want to take on too many clients at one time because then I can't market myself and get bigger clients that I really want to go after.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. So I know you said you were your background was in the military. How long you were in the military for?
Oh, 6 years in the Marines.
Okay. So what was the kind of what was the kind of role there?
Oh, that was I was driving Humvees. Okay. Wasn't exactly luxurious or glamorous. We had a lot of fun times in the I got stationed in San Diego, so I learned how to surf. I got stationed in Yuma, which is a terrible, terrible place. But I didn't go overseas, which is a blessing and a curse at the same time. I had buddies that went overseas and had that experience, came back safe. But really enjoyed my time. Really gave me that discipline that I needed to go on and, you know, finish college and go be a disciplined entrepreneur that I have today. I still reach back to those same disciplines that I learned in the military.
Wow. That's cool. So what would you say was the hardest thing for you when it comes to being a marketer, a digital marketer? What would you say was the hardest thing for you?
that I'm not innately good at it. Like, if you would have, like 10 years ago, I wasn't even on a computer all that much. I did my schoolwork on it and I played around on Facebook or something, but I liked being outdoors and doing other things. And I would have never envisioned being at a computer for 40 hours a week, would have never thought of that. And then once I started doing it, I loved it. But I'm just slow. I'm a slow person on the computer. And like I had to really battle to get good at it. Wow. And I've through the years, I found shortcuts. Like I live on ATEX. I don't know if you know what ATEX is, but it's short keys. So
Okay, gotcha.
In three keystrokes, I can write a full paragraph of automated text that I've built out through the years of good messages to people that I can use for an email template, right? So, figuring those things out on my own and always staying up on the latest technologies helps my workflow, even though I'm really slow innately. But, you know, I've overcome it. It's just something I had to do and push through. And I love doing it. I love the challenge, right?
That's cool. So what are like the top three apps or, I guess, tools or resources that you use to kind of run your business?
Well, top three tools. So I do everything on WordPress. I think I live on WordPress, building my websites and modifying them more than any other tool online. Obviously, email. I live in email. Like I said, ATEXT is it's a short key correcting tool. And then I have probably, I wish I could share my screen, but I have like, I don't know, 30 Chrome extensions that I use throughout the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it just fills the whole bar. And I use almost every one of them when I'm doing work for my clients, just these things. Hunter.io is an email hunter. So if I see a good website, I just click that and it gives me an email address. Beautiful. There's a Chrome extension called VStat that helps me find how much traffic is coming through something website. And then LastPass holds all of my passwords. So I love using that. Anything that is shortcut oriented, I basically love it. And I'll try.
Man, you have like You sound like so super automated.
I'm trying my best, right?
That's awesome. Like, you got me beat. I'm trying, but you know what I mean? That's awesome, yeah. Man. That is so cool. So who would you say were some of the people? I know you mentioned your wife, but who would you say were some of the people that kind of gave you that support to kind of, because I know you said you were slow at this. This wasn't really your thing. Like, who kind of gave you the support through this journey and not poo-poo it because, you know, it's the internet?
Yeah, no kidding. First off, it's my mom. She's always been super supportive throughout my life, no matter what I do. You know, like, you can't do anything wrong. Absolutely. Go for it. Try to be a poker player for a living. Yeah, go get them. Like, always. So she's always had my back. But every job you take on, you're looking for that next mentor in your life. Mm. And that last mentor, you're still going to hold on to in like some capacities. I still have my first job, my mentor there, who was my boss, still have good contact with him, right? And so if you figure out that that person is not going to be a mentor for you, that's a good red flag for you to be getting the hell out of there moving on with your career. So I never took a job where I didn't see a high potential from learning from somebody right above me. Mm. And if that opportunity wasn't there, then I wouldn't take that job.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting. I've never thought about that. Never thought about that.
Well, who are some of your mentors?
Well, it's varied in different stages. Of course, it started with my mom, but when I was living in New York, my pastor was a big mentor to me. Kind of gave me the confidence to say, you know what? There's more going on inside of you than what you think. You have these distant mentors from videos and stuff like that. Right now, a good friend, he became a friend. He runs a conference. But at one point, like, he didn't even want me to see him as a mentor. But we became good friends, and he's always been in my corner. So I guess in different stages, it's kind of changed. But I kind of have my core group of people that I kind of, good, know that they're going to be honest with me, but at the same time, like, if they need to get in the dirt with me, they will.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always looking for, you know, it's funny. You mentioned, like, he doesn't want to be your mentor. I want to be everybody's mentor. Like, that's, there's an old saying that's, I don't know, Confucius or something. Maybe I think it's Confucius, where he says, if you look around and you're the smartest man in the room, you're in the wrong room. Right. And that's how I feel.
I agree with you.
I've never felt like the smartest guy in the room. So I'm always striving to be in that room.
Right, yeah. right. I'm there with you, man. I'm there with you. Just try to be in that room where, you know, you're like a sponge just learning like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there with you. So how did you get to the current job that you are right now, and then we could talk a little bit about it?
Sure. Experience, the last 5+ years I've been running affiliate programs, and then one day I recognized how much money one of the affiliates that I brought in was bringing the company, and I looked at that number and I'm like, I'm not getting any bonuses for bringing that guy in. Why am I not doing this for myself? And getting a certain percentage of that cut. And I just felt like my time and self-worth was more than I could get paid via salary. And I'm a gambler. So I jumped in and said, you know, I'm going to go out on my own. I don't care how hard I have to work. 40 hours a week is nothing. Like, it's right. That's an easy gain. And everybody can get complacent doing that. But once you start owning your own business and you have to pay your rent and you have to feed your kids, oh my gosh, stuff gets real, real quick. I love every minute of it. But if I didn't have that experience and I didn't think that my experience was good enough to go out on my own, right, I would have never taken that leap. maybe it wasn't the right time in my life. Maybe I could have stayed at my company another 6 months and been comfortable and saved up a little bit more money. But, you're never going to know until you get out there and take that chance, right? I can always fall back on a job. I've got those skills, but I don't want to do that. I never want to go back and work for anybody again.
That is funny. That is funny. So how much, if you don't mind me asking, like how much clients do you have under your umbrella right now?
Well, it just varies. I mean, clients are cyclical. I don't retain clients very well. That's not my model. Gotcha. People like doing a recurring model. I don't love that concept all that much. Most of the clients I'm taking on are on a consulting and coaching basis. So
gotcha.
I will go in and say, hey, I see a lot of holes in your program. I can help you fix those. I won't do any of the work. You need somebody on your team to do all this work, but I will give you a solid game plan on how to do it and strategies and emails and all these things that you can use to make your program better. And people have been really receptive to that. And it's reasonably priced. My price keeps going up as the client's clientele keeps going up. And the goal is, keep on doubling my price and take on half the clients and then use that other time that I've just now saved to market myself in other fashions and to the bigger clients and getting those bigger fish. So it's a it's not like a chess game. I don't know how I guess.
No, but I mean, you're super strategic with it, though.
Yeah, I guess it's more like Baccarat. Like you have to decide which pieces to move forward in the game. I've never even played Baccarat, but I've seen people play.
Oh, that's funny. But I mean, like, I just love hearing how like intentional you are with every step.
Yeah. And it wasn't always like that. Oh, these are all learning processes over the last year, man. I'm glad I had a lot of mentors, and one of the best things I could have ever done was join a mastermind where I've got 10 other people in a group that are in the same spot of life that I am and struggling with the same things that I'm struggling with as an agency owner. And their guidance and help was exponentially great for me. Like just hearing that people were having those same problems is comforting, honestly.
Right. Like it's true.
Misery loves company. So I would always suggest that people join a group of people that are in that same state of mind and life, and those people are also going to push you and tell you, you're not doing enough, or you're doing too much. You need to tone it down in these kinds of aspects. So those are good friends to have.
That's true.
Have you been in many masterminds yourself?
I haven't been in like any official masterminds, but like I have different groups where we go on retreats and we kind of dive deep into what we got going on. I got one friend, we have like a monthly call. We kind of throw ideas off each other. We go deep in what each other's doing in business and stuff like that. So I have these different pockets where I know, okay, I need someone to dive deep in. Like actually this Monday I have a call with someone. We're going to, with another podcast that we're just going to go dive deep in podcasting. You know what I mean? So I got these people that I've kind of put in my circle that I know when it's time I could jump with them, and they know when it's time they could reach out to me. So and that's kind of what I've, but I'm intrigued by the whole mastermind deal. I just never really got involved in one. I was blessed enough to not need it, because I've got people that we just kind of build this connection, and they want to see me grow and I want to see them grow.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah, all I ever want is to see all of my friends be super successful.
Right.
Like that's my goal, is helping my friends get to the place where they can be super successful so they can buy me all that stuff.
Right. ain't that the truth? But I just feel like you're not a true friend if you don't want to see your friends be successful or even help them to be successful. Because I think sometimes, like, we as friends, like, you expect that person to kind of take care of you or cut corners for you or whatever the case may be. And you will exploit that because, you know, that's your friend. So you know that, okay, I may be able to get this discount, or I may be able to get this, or I may be able to get that. And I just feel like if I got a friend, I want to make sure that he gets his full pay. I want to make sure that he gets paid full price. I want to make sure that he's taken care of. Now, if he offers something to me, that's different.
Yeah.
But I don't want to expect it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how friendships get broken, right? If you get money involved or start thinking your self-worth is more than they're offering to that relationship. I mean, it happens, but if they're good enough friends, you're going to find a way around, finding that mutual partnership with all your good buddies.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what would you say is like the first hour of Dustin's daylight? Because you work from home, you're on a computer. So if I'm not mistaken, you're working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that first hour? Do you have like a routine? Because you sound like a super strategic person. So do you have like a routine? What's the first hour like?
Oh, first hour is I wake up almost every day at 4:30 in the morning. So
a.m.
Yeah. So that I can pound out quite a bit of work before the kids get up at 7:30. So that first hour is burning through the yesterday's emails that got attached at the end of the day, and then storyboarding my entire day. Like, these are the things I have to get accomplished. This one thing, without a doubt, I have to get this done. And then I have three more secondary things. Like, I really hope I can get to these after I finish my first one. So planning out the day for what's going to go on. And then after that first 30 minutes or so, I hit up the gym for an hour with a buddy, and then get back, get some more work in. And then the kids wake up, take them to school. And, that's how the day gets going. But I'd say probably 6 days a week, I'm doing 4:30 a.m. mornings. And then throughout the day, some days I need to take a 20-minute nap and I do it around noon, and some days I don't. And then I'm pretty routinely going to sleep by 10 o'clock so I can get in. I can squeeze in 6 hours.
Right. Cause I mean, I love that, man. Like, I'm not quite at the 4:30.
Yeah.
But, I get up early too, just to kind of basically the same thing, try to get it, a good amount of work in before the kids get up and try to, you know what I mean? Cause once they need your attention, it's over.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and I'm getting 4 hours a day with the kids, and that's super important to me as
a
father.
That's great.
Yeah. Two in the morning, two at night, or, you know, maybe one in the morning, three at night usually. But a solid 4 hours just interacting with the kids is super important to me and my psyche. Like, it helps me stay motivated in working as well. So, I mean, everybody's got their priorities. I can't believe how many hours I had when I didn't have kids, and how I wish I would have had this entrepreneur spirit before I had children, right?
Like,
I could have killed it with 4 extra hours a day. Are you kidding me? I don't know.
That is so true, man. I'm there with you on that.
Yeah.
That is so true. It's crazy, but you know, everything in its own time. What you gonna do?
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's jump into some book recommendations. What's some of the books that Dustin messed with?
Yeah. Well, going back to my 4:30 a.m., one of the most influential books was Miracle Morning. Hal Elrod. I don't know if you've...
I've heard of it.
...picked this up. That's a life-changing book. Love that book. Teaches you the discipline of getting up early, starting your day with some kind of meditation, exercise, doing your own routine. And it makes you more disciplined to get your day done. And that's just the points that I was talking about right there. And then another influential book, How to Make Friends and Influence People.
I've heard of that one, definitely.
And there's a new one out with the In the Digital World that just came out a couple of years ago, and it's very relevant. I love books that are history lessons and stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. And that book is both, and it's pretty incredible. So those are my two books that I like always go to. I'm not a huge reader. I don't have a whole lot of time to read, and I don't make a lot of time to read. Right. I read news clips all day and watch YouTube videos on latest events in my industry, but I don't read nearly enough.
Right. I try to get a good audiobook in when I can, but for the most part, like sometimes you're just so immersed in what you're trying to accomplish, like you literally don't find it's just not like you don't want to, you just don't even remember. Okay, yeah, there's books over there to read.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a whole bookshelf behind you. I know you haven't touched those things since like college.
Some of them have been a while. And plus, it's like a shared bookshelf. It's, my wife got some stuff in there too. So,
okay.
But most of my books are audio. Most of my books are audio books. I only get physical books when it has to do with, because I'm a designer. I got like, when I need something visual to see and stuff like that, it's much more, I'm going to go back to it most likely if I have a physical book for reference and stuff like that. If it's digital, 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to go back to it to kind of look for inspiration or stuff like that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So let's jump into how we met.
So Liquid Web, they do manage hosting for all capacities, WordPress included. They have a very unique offering of managed WooCommerce. So if anybody's ever looking to use WordPress to build an e-commerce site, Liquid Web is the perfect place to host that. And my role there is to go out and recruit good affiliates, people that would be good fits, like their audience is in the tech world, or they have an audience that might be an entrepreneur, want to start websites. So web hosting is relevant to what you do. You're in that tech world. So I ended up reaching out to you and telling you about this. And, we made the connection because, you know, we're in similar worlds, and we thought we'd make an episode out of it, right?
Yes. And I'm super excited about the opportunity. I'm super excited about the partnership. Like, I feel like a lot of times, like, there's all different type of awesome companies out there. But for me, like, who I'm touching, who I'm connecting with makes a difference if I choose to or not. And I feel like we got a good communication, a good relationship brewing right here. And I feel like, okay, this was something I could get on with, because after we kind of got a few emails through and got to talk face to face, I felt like, you know what, Dustin is a real guy. And I feel like, you know, and because that's how I choose things as per the people behind it or the people that I'm going to be in contact with, because that's how almost everything is done. You know, it's all about who you know, like, and trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Relationships. It's all my life is at this point. Like, I'm super glad that we could do this via Skype, because I don't see that many people all the time. Like, yeah, working at home, I don't get to interact with a lot of people. I make phone calls and I do emails, but it's so good to see another friendly face, somebody smiling, and to joke around with, and this has been a good time. So yeah, I'm excited. This is what gets me going. This is what keeps me going in this realm too, is making these friendships, networking, and inevitably, like 2 years from now, you and I are going to see each other. You're going to introduce me to somebody cool. I'm going to introduce you to somebody cool. And you know, it just, you know, cycles on. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, because one of the things that I cherish the most about this podcast is the relationships that I've gotten to build. Like, yeah. There's nothing I would trade for that. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, no opportunity, no guest speaking or no being invited somewhere. There's nothing I would trade for the relationships that I've gotten to build. Some of the guests have become like some of my closest friends. So it's probably the greatest benefit out of everything else that I got to do. That's the only thing I really love, because between the editing and stuff like that, it's been intense. I'm glad I finally got somebody to do the editing for me. So which is cool. So what is next for Dustin? What is some of the things that you got brewing in that mind of yours? What's next for
What's next? So my ultimate goal is to be an influencer myself. So right now I'm doing this. I'm testing out this thing where I'm building affiliate programs for companies, basically at cost. If they want to create an affiliate program, I'll do it for free, but I get to be your first affiliate and I get to recruit other affiliates, and the affiliates that actually make money, I'm going to get a certain percentage of it. It's called MLM. You might be more familiar with the term, which is kind of like a scammy annotation, multi-level marketing, but not in the capacity that I'm doing it. So when I'm going to recruit people, I'm recruiting people that are actually going to bring value to that company. Gotcha. I'm just not going out and blasting an entire network of scam artists that are going to drive garbage traffic. I know the people that I'm reaching out to. I'm only doing this for full value of the clients that I'm taking on. So with that strategy, I want to be one of the top affiliates for these brands that I'm creating these affiliate programs for. And I'm out there. I have a hard goal of making a minimum of one video per week. And that's a lot of work. Like, you have to write it. You have to go through like an hour of taping that, and to where you're looking in the camera and reading, but you're not reading. And these are just for like 3 minute videos, and then all the editing you have to go through. Like, it's a lot of work. And yeah. I'm taking a course, dude's name, it's deadbeat.com. I don't know if you ever go to digital marketing conferences, but
no,
you would know Deadbeat Dan. He walks around in a robe and socks. He's a hell of a character, and I've seen him through the years, and I just wanted to be doing what he's doing. And so I'm going through his YouTube course where he specifically goes through all these steps to how to be an influencer. And that's what I want to do. So I'm building up my Instagram, I'm building up my YouTube subscriptions, and I'm going after it. So, you know, in my spare 3 minutes each day that I get, I'm working towards being an influencer, and that's my ultimate goal.
That's awesome. So you said you make like 3 minute videos. What is the videos on? Is it just like bringing value about in regards to the affiliate marketing industry?
Yeah, most of the time it's marketing myself for other work. It's usually, you know, me talking about something in affiliate management. But I rotate each week. Like, one's going to be about marketing myself and doing my business stuff. And then the next week is going to be about a product that I really believe in. Maybe it's a toy that I play with my kids with. And the whole video is just me and them playing with this toy or doing something goofy with it or exploiting my children to get more likes on YouTube. Like, whatever it is.
So you would eat. So this is even before you get like this company or this brand of the toy as a client. You're just doing this to kind of build up equity.
Yeah. I've got this vision where I'm taking like a brand of like something I believe in. Let's see, like my fancy Kirkland mixed nuts, right? I'm going to be eating these nuts, doing a weird video, feeding them to my kids or something. And then the next thing is you might see something in that video of me doing something else with another product that I'm going to review a little bit later. And that's kind of ties into that next product. And then I put affiliate links to all of these products that I'm showcasing in this video. And the ultimate goal is for, I want to get toy companies to send me free stuff so that I can play with them and be on videos. That's all I want. I just want free stuff. I don't want to be a millionaire. I just want free stuff that people send me, so I can play with them and do real reviews. And I don't want people to send me money for these reviews. I just want YouTube
Send you money.
I want the man sending me money. I don't want companies sponsoring me for things like that, you know?
And plus, I like the idea that you're actually reviewing things that you believe in, you use, and stuff like that. That just makes it super personal, and you actually are giving a legit review. Sure.
It's so much easier too. Like if you have to force something, like I did some beard balm videos, and that was just a blast. It was so much fun to do that. And I want to do more of them, but, if I have to do a review on something that I'm not interested in, you're going to see it in my tone of voice and my actions. And I don't want to be a part of that. Life's too short to be doing stuff you don't care about.
Like, I mean, I love that. Like, I'm so fascinated with this, what you're doing, man. It's so interesting, and like, you're thinking super long game. Like, you're building up so much equity in that. That's super cool.
Yeah, I often stretch myself too thin and think too far into that future, and I never get there. I have all these ideas on the storyboard and just never get to them, but, you know. One of these days.
I'm digging it. Like if you stay, I feel like I just see it. Like if you stay consistent with that, like a year span, just one full year of doing that, a video each week. It's a lot of videos.
Sure is. Yeah. And Deadbeat Dan tells you to do a video a day. And I'm like, I ain't got that in me.
Ideally, that's what they say for everything. Like some of the most successful podcasts is they do like, say, for example, like the Dave Ramsey podcast, he comes out with an episode every day.
Jikes.
Like, that's they're on a, but you need a team for something like that. Like you need a full blown production for something like that. But ideally, I mean, they say anything, you try to do it daily, but if you can't, weekly is the next best thing. And we're there because I'm coming out with a podcast every week. So. I'm good with
that's
that.
That's the route you're going. I'm not going to try to compete with you. I don't think I want to get in the podcast games, but I love being a guest on podcasts.
I love it. So say people are you know, interested in this affiliate marketing thing or just the marketing in general, especially the digital realm. What advice would you have for that person in regards to this industry?
Oh, I mean, it's very lucrative. It's very wide open. My suggestion to anybody is there's a book called Crushing It by Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know if you've caught this or not, but he goes into descriptions of each social media platform, right? And how he jumped into Facebook early on and just pounded it and exploited it and utilized the ads. And that's how he made millions, right? He's always looking for that next platform. So finding that next platform that's not super popular yet, and then finding the holes and getting super popular on that is really like the next level stuff. There's going to be some stinkers, you know, like MySpace and like Vine. They didn't pan out. People spent a lot of time pounding in a lot of hours into those, and it just didn't work out.
Right.
For every, you know, 10 MySpaces, there's one Facebook. And if you land that one Facebook, then you can become a millionaire in a matter of 1 to 2 years if you're doing it right. So, whatever you're going to do, you have to go after it hardcore. And that's what Vanderchuk's book is all about. And I completely agree with that kind of message. If you're going to go after it, don't half-ass anything. I mean, there's just no time in life for that. Like, I want to be rich this year.
Right. I'm there with you. Cause I design for different people. And
yeah.
When I started a podcast, like, I really didn't take it that serious. And the minute that I realized that people were listening and people wanted to be on there, I realized, okay, I started to take it more serious. And then once I seen the doors it was opening, I was like, listen, I'm just going to go down this rabbit hole. So, like, I do client work, but only when, like, it's a good project to take on.
Sure.
But outside of that, like, everything for the most part is vested in building the podcast, because now that wasn't my original plan, but that's where everything is leading to, and everything is kind of, the doors are opening. So I'm going to follow this rabbit trail. So I'm there with you, like, just going all in. I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's where life takes you. I didn't think I'd be behind a computer, but here I am. And I'm glad I'm here. Like, I'm glad. I wish I had jumped in on this, you know, in high school. I'd be so rich right now if I would have kept playing around with computers. Like, insane. Like, but you can't think in that aspect. You can think about now and where you can be in a few more years.
Right.
Keep playing that long game, and you're going to get there, and you're going to be successful if you just keep on pushing it in.
I'm there with you. So where can people go to find you, learn more about what you're doing?
Sure thing. I mean, I've got a lot of URLs. Probably the most fun that you would find would be DutchDaddy.com. That's my official blog where I do fun things. But my, on the professional side, you can find me at coalition.marketing. And you can find me, I'm really easy to get a hold of. I've got CTAs all over that page. So, if you're interested, I always give free 20-minute calls to people in the digital marketing world that might be interested in either my services or, you know, I'll just hang out. I don't care, but give me a call.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I mean, I'm glad for this. Like, I've never had anyone in this field on the podcast. And I know as designers, like, we're all trying to tap into that world. Creating, marketing our skills, not just trading time for money, but ways how to make passive income. So I know that designers would, and podcasters and all these different kind of industries are really interested in this realm, because I feel like the ability to not trade time for money is kind of like really the best right now, and the internet gives us the greatest opportunity to do that.
Oh, by far. Yeah. Recurring while you're sleeping. It's so much opportunity still left untapped. I mean, you could look at every social media platform out there and see, oh, it's kind of inundated. Even like the podcasting world, like, seems like everybody's got a podcast right now, but people are still slaying it doing podcasts. And it relatively in its infancy still, if you think about it.
It's true.
You know, Adam Carolla, I think, started doing it maybe 10 years ago, and he was nobody thought it was ever going to blow up like it is now, and nobody even listens to the radio anymore. So, like, just be ready and willing to take that next leap on that next level stuff that's coming out. And if you can predict it and land it like the lotto, you're gonna do really well. So keep playing with stuff.
I love it, man. I love it. Dustin, this has been awesome. Like, so much value. I really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Awesome. Hey, it's great being here. And thanks for your time, dude.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.